For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust.
Live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at the Avenue.
It's a party, baby.
This is Scalzo and Brust, presented by Bud Light.
It's a party, baby.
On 94.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
It's a party, baby. Woo! It's a party, baby.
Seemingly a hero right now in New York, the Jets general manager on Friday night at an event with Boomer Esiason, who's a morning show host out there in New York City, where he was asked, you know what, Joshy, let's just have the fans here. He was asked a question about Aaron Rodgers, and this was the applause that he got.
I have to ask you. He's gonna be here.
That's a loud applause. That's an excited fan base. And you hear Mike Greenberg, Greeny on these airwaves. You hear other Jets fans that are out there. And they are so unabashedly excited about Aaron Rodgers coming there to the New York Jets and the potential of what that means.
If Mark Murphy was at a luncheon and said, like, we just can't wait to get rid of Aaron Rodgers. You think it'd be the same type applause?
No, but it's also different sending something away than receiving something.
Sure.
Right? Like, even if you want to get rid of something, you're not as excited as receiving something new, especially when you perceive it to be what the Jets fans are perceiving Aaron Rodgers to be. So we ask you, what GM is going to get a louder round of applause at the end of the season come February, right? Which fan base is going to be happier come February? Will it be the Jets? Will it be the Packers? 800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776. We'll open up the phone lines here as well in a minute. Get to your calls. You can text us. Get us on Twitter at Scalzo and Brust. Of course, you can always stream us as well on video. Find that on Twitter at Scalzo and Brust. You both said that it's going to be Packers fans, and I have to disagree with you both.
Shocker. As Aaron Rodgers' number one supporter, I would expect
nothing less. It really doesn't have that much to do with Aaron Rodgers and being his supporter. It has a lot to do with what the expectations are going to be from a New York Jets fan base versus what the expectations are from a Green Bay Packers fan base. Because I think there's a lot of Packers fans out there who right now have an expectation that this Packers team is competing for a playoff spot next year.
We've heard it.
And I think there's a lot of other Packers fans out there who are saying, now, this year's not a big deal. But they're also really not in the season yet when you're going to want to be relevant week in and week out. So I think the fact that Jets fans right now have the expectation, I don't think they have the Super Bowl expectations that we're projecting on that Jets fan base. I think the mere excitement of having Aaron Rodgers make that franchise relevant and exciting again will make them happy even if they get bounced after a playoff win. And I think Aaron Rodgers will get a playoff win. I think that after that, everything else is gravy, and I think they would be happy to trade whatever they're going to give up, which is going to be less than a first-round pick, seemingly, right, in order to get a year of relevancy, excitement, see what you can do. What is this young core going to be with a great quarterback? Like, if Garrett Wilson looks great and he's Aaron Rodgers is throwing on the ball, like, awesome. Like, that's going to produce enough happy memories and good moments where a Jets fan base, which is starved for anything, is going to enjoy it. It's like, hey, you know what? If you're a Packers fan and you come off of the hill, right? You come out of your gated community and you walk by a very hungry person who hadn't eaten for a while and you give them the hamburger that you had that you weren't that excited about because you're on your way to a better meal, that person's going to appreciate that hamburger a heck of a lot more than you're probably even going to enjoy whatever meal you're going to have. right? And I think that's where Jets fans are at. And I think the mere fact that they could land Aaron Rodgers, one of what, the 10 greatest quarterbacks to ever play the position, and have him play in front of them 8 times in New York City, and have them be the week in and week out story, not as a punchline, but as a central storyline to the NFL in 2023, I think Packer or Jets fans, excuse me, would be willing to give up a second round pick or 2 second round picks for that, even if it doesn't mean a Super Bowl trophy.
So from a logic standpoint, I get what you're saying, right? Haven't been in the playoffs 12 years. Getting Aaron Rodgers would make them feel like they have something to strive for, right? There's something that they can look forward to and not start off 7-5 and then roll out 3 different quarterbacks and lose their last 6 games, right? That wouldn't have happened if Aaron Rodgers was their quarterback last year.
Correct.
But the Packer fans, they only know that hamburger, that playoff feel. The New York fans, right, despite even not being there for 12 years, all I hear about the East Coast and the media is like, oh, it's rough, it's tough. I don't know. My perception as a Midwesterner, and maybe this is like too hum-diddly-d of me, is going to be like, well, we're happy right now that Joe Douglas got Aaron Rodgers, but if we don't even win a playoff game or get to the playoffs, then I don't care. I'm going to raise all hell again.
You just moved the goalposts. Like, if you just said on one hand you think they make the playoffs, and then on the other hand they're going to be mad if they miss the playoffs. Yes, if the Jets end up missing the playoffs, their fans will be more upset. I don't think that's happening. I still think that they're going to be at least a wild card team. I know it's a difficult division, but I think we make the playoffs. And again, I think they could win a playoff game. Yeah, I think Jets fans will be happy. And I think Packers fans are going to have to live with the reality that did an unknown exists. Joshy's got his hand up.
I have a question for you. Do you think the math changes at all if they do? Like, because you talked about DeAndre Hopkins, which I don't think is a far-fetched idea for the Jets to go out and try and land with Aaron Rodgers. If they do the full all-out thing like we've seen teams do in the past, like a Rams, for instance, does it change the math if they only get one playoff win or even a wild card berth? Like, does the math change at all in your mind?
We'll move the goalpost further up.
Well, no, I think that, but he's changing the whole scenario.
No, yeah. I know. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I think that, yes, you probably need to do more in that spot because you've leveraged more. But I also think that Jets fans, some of which I know, would just be excited to see this team take a chance. Like, I think even Packers fans, to a certain extent, some would be excited just to have had a chance to have gone all in at one point over the last 4 years. Even if it was a worse long-term decision, that excitement of that 1 year and the feeling, at least you could look back and be like, hey, it didn't work out, but like, you know what? Joe Douglas went for it.
In a weird way, I think that the Packer fans' mindset about how next season goes has nothing to do with Jordan Love. It has everything to do with Aaron Rodgers. The way that the last 3-4 years have went about the offseason, about the playoff exits, it's gotten to a point right now where if Aaron Rodgers has a bad season and Jordan Love is average, Packer fans will be happy. If Jordan Love is great, but and they still go 8-9, and Aaron Rodgers makes the playoffs and goes further, like, I think there's still like the what if, why didn't we keep him?
I think you're right.
I almost think the like Goot is going to be looked at no matter what based off how Aaron Rodgers does with the Jets.
It's connected. It's very much interconnected with how Jordan does, because if Aaron Rodgers goes and does well with the Jets and Jordan Love looks good and has the potential to be great, I still think Packers fans will be happy. They should be happy. You're getting a guy who could be really good, who's got another year on a rookie deal after this upcoming season, and you could have him for a very long time.
I hear you, but if somehow Aaron Rodgers makes the Super Bowl or the AFC Championship game, it makes it even tougher to just be like, we just gave that away for what? We had continuity and we didn't.
The Packers have done a great job of making this out to be Aaron's fault that he's leaving, but I also think that if Jordan Love is really good and you see things in him that could make him great, then anything that happens with Rodgers all of a sudden starts to wash away. If you as a fan, and I'm not even making this exclusive to the Packers, if you as a fan believe you have a young quarterback you could build around for a decade and win a Super Bowl with, then the other parts of the equation just go away. There'd be a little bit.
That would hurt is a Super Bowl, but that's unlikely.
That is true, and it is unlikely. Let's go to Danny in Kenosha. Danny, welcome to Scalzo and Bross. We are presented by Bud Light. What do you got?
Well, first of all, I'm glad Josh didn't get traded. The show would have lost something.
Thanks, Danny.
But
meh.
It's Rodgers just learned how to throw to guys that he doesn't like. That thumb heals up. It's going to be over. The Jets are going. It's
all right. Thank you for the call. I think we lost him a little bit there.
Yeah. All right. I got you, Danny. He thinks Jets fans are going to be happier. He thinks that Aaron Rodgers throwing to Garrett Wilson, the offensive rookie of the year last year in the AFC, and Mecole Hardman, a speedster, and who knows who else is going to be in that wide receiver room, and Alan Lazard blocking on the edge for Breece Hall. He thinks that offense with that defense, that to your point, Ben, started out 7-5 last year with a mix between Joe Flacco and Zach Wilson and a little Mike White.
A little Mike White mixed in there.
They could potentially be a team that is a problem in the AFC.
I wanted to have his connection a little bit better because I wanted to figure out if he was just like a Rodgers guy, or just like anti-Goot because he's like, all right, well, Rodgers didn't like that Goot drafted a bunch of young wide receivers and his thumb was hurt, so he's just happy to be out of there and ready to give his services to somebody who actually wants him in the Jets. But again, I can't wait for already the 17th in the draft because we're getting to a place where we're going to get tangible things that have to happen for these franchises to move forward.
Want to give a shout out to American Family Insurance, AmFam.com, to find your local American Family Insurance agent. AmFam not only helps you on the front end, picking the right insurance for you, you could utilize their digital home quoting tool. It's an easy, convenient tool that provides a one-stop shop for comparing good, best, better coverage options. You can build your own policy, especially if you're a first-time homeowner, right? For me, when I was a first-time homeowner, when we got ready to buy our house, it was an easy decision to stay with American Family Insurance because we already had our auto plan with them, and we had a local agent that we knew. We got to know, right? We've been working with her for a long time. So not only do you protect your home and auto with American, if you protect your home and auto with American Family, can you save up to 28%, but that continuity ultimately builds a relationship. It builds trust. So when we went with our home insurance, we were of course going to go with our agent there. And then when a claim needed to be submitted, or I should say when something went wrong at the house, I had no idea what to do. As a first-time homeowner, everything's scary. What's going to happen if we do this? What's going to happen if we do that? And it was so nice to just have somebody to call and lean on and to help us through every step of the process and not call some nameless, faceless 800 number where you're stuck on hold and you need a reference number every time you call back because you're talking to somebody different. That's not the experience you get with American Family because you work with a local agent. Find yours at amfam.com. Which fan base will be happier at the end of this upcoming NFL season? Is it the Jets or is it the Packers? We'll talk about it next. It's Scalzo and Bross presented by Bud Light.
You're listening to Bud Light Scalzo and Bross.
I'm going to try to thread this needle here, Joshy.
Good luck.
I think it would show a tremendous amount of security from you if you just didn't care what you wore.
I don't have that.
Subscribe to the Scalzo and Bross podcast free on the Wisconsin On Demand app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Start off 7-2 on the road for the next 10 games. 7-2 start, another big victory yesterday as they won their third straight series of the season. On the hill tonight for the Milwaukee Brewers. Woo, Molly!
He's gonna sit it now, Wade.
Yeah, turn your mic on there. Woo, for that to work,
Molly. He gonna sit it now. A little slider right down the middle, change up. Change up was working first start. Let's get going, Wade.
Meanwhile, as 928, Bucks Bot 332 chimes in. Says Bucks Nation ramped up to see another NBA run and parade in Milwaukee.
I'm excited, but gosh, I mean, there's a reason why they're behind the Celtics in championship title odds. I mean, I think they're.
No, they're not.
I thought they were. I thought they were neck and neck.
No.
Well, if they're the odds-on favorite, then
they're the odds-on favorite.
I'm hearing misinformation.
Oh, you didn't see it? Who'd you hear it from?
I don't know. I think I just might have made it up from something that I've created in my head.
Cam from the Heights has an opinion on the Packer-Goody conversation we were having between Joe Douglas and Brian Gutekunst on Twitter. It lives as, which fan base will be happier at the end of the 2023 NFL season? 68-32 Packers fans to Jets fans.
Sorry, you were right. Plus 240 for the Bucks, plus 330 for the Celts. Those are low odds. They were plus 550 when the mayor made the bet, wasn't it? Wasn't it something like that?
No, you're wrong again, but stop just skipping out on the show so you can see how wrong you are once again.
All right. Done skipping out.
I think it was plus 250.
It was like plus 250. I think you're thinking of Giannis MVP odds, which at one point were plus 550.
I think you should just move on from whatever I was thinking because it was wrong.
I did. I had already moved on. I asked you a freaking question.
Pat on the back to me. Re-rack it for him. My bad.
You know, tell us about Cedar Ridge.
It's delicious whiskey. It's absolutely delicious.
It's freaking unbelievable.
The best-selling bourbon in Iowa, making a home here in Wisconsin. The quintessential, the highest-awarded single malts of 2022, and it's right here in the state of Wisconsin. Learn more at CedarRidgeDistillery.com, but also pick up the Scalzo and Brust private barrel selection. Right now, Scalzo's, which his name wasn't on it, but it is Scalzo and Brust private barrel bourbon and rye whiskeys, Milwaukee Discount Liquor, Waukesha, and downtown Madison Steve's Liquor and Buck and Honey's.
Thominations chimes in on Twitter at Scalzo and Brust is probably the worst 30 minutes in sports talk radio in history. Bathroom etiquette, be better. You goofs. That's right. Ben Brust, middle urinal guy, a little bit of a peeper. And
peripheral guy, peeper's a little strong.
I don't think people would understand what it meant as a peripheral guy, though.
Like, you know, sometimes you can just see out of your peripherals what someone's working with. You're not like turning your head and like staring.
You don't see out of your peripherals without using your peripherals to look that way.
But I'm saying you may move your eyes to the right, but I'm not turning my head to the right.
That's still looking.
Whatever,
your eyes
Josh.
Are doing the looking.
Mr. Facts over here.
You lost pretty significantly in terms of the etiquette conversation. And I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about the Scalzo and Brust family because I didn't even get 10% into the way that you were getting beat up earlier. But we did have the question out there, who is going to be happier? And right now the fans believe the Packers fans are going to be happier than our New York Jets fans. And I am interested, as you pointed out, Ben, if that has more to do with what Packers fans think Aaron Rodgers will be or if that has more to do with what Packers think fans think Jordan Love is going to be.
Packer fans hate Aaron Rodgers so much right now to the point of that he's still on the roster under contract. He's not moved. He's been kind of a pain in people's asses probably the last 3-4 off seasons. He's done the champagne room of sports for the Green Bay Packers of getting basically to the Super Bowl, but not to the Super Bowl and not giving that full experience for Green Bay Packer fans that they have convinced themselves no matter what that Jordan Love, even if he's average, if Jordan Love's average, he was good. If Jordan Love was good, he was great. Jordan Love next year will be a step up from whatever he is in Packer fans' minds because that's what they're going to need in order to justify moving on from a Hall of Famer like Aaron Rodgers, even if they hate him or not.
800-990-3776. Well, let's check in with Jake in Milwaukee. Jake, welcome to Scalzo and Brust, presented by the world's greatest beer, Bud Light. What do you got?
Hey, guys. I know you guys were talking earlier about the prediction for Aaron Rodgers next season with the Jets. I think he'll have a good year under obviously the former offense coordinator from the Packers going there. I think the Jets organization is really going to cater to his needs and what he wants to be successful. So I think Aaron Rodgers will have a good year in 2023 with the New York Jets.
Thanks you for the call. Good year. I mean, like, again, like, I think he'll have a good year, too. He's going to be with Nathaniel Hackett, Tim Boyle. They can bring back the gold zone, maybe call it the green zone. See what I'm doing there? I guess they could have done that with the Packers. The Packers are green. You're letting me die, aren't you?
I'm not. Josh is giving me a look.
You guys were giving each other a look, and I didn't like it.
You just kind of started to run down a road real quick there. Yeah, look, I think Aaron Rodgers is going to have a good year with the Jets. He's a good quarterback. When he's healthy, he's a very good to great quarterback. Like, I don't think he's all of a sudden regressed to the point where what we saw last year will be his constant. I think we have to take the injuries into effect. I think we have to take otherwise into effect as well as far as what's surrounding him. But Rob from Milwaukee, Cam from the Heights chimed in and says, I think the kid can play. Talking about Jordan Love. Says, I'm more worried about Joe Barry. So in turn, I'll be more mad at Goody if he doesn't apply the pressure on Matty Mouse if the defense goes off the rails than I will be about Jordan Love. And I do think that the expectation of Packers fans is going to be high. And it should be high because that's what this franchise has trained their fans to be. And it's good. It's good to have high expectations.
But it's also scary when you have somebody saying the kid is good when you haven't even seen the kid. You can't just say that
I think the kid can play. You said you think the kid stinks. So I think he has every right to think that the kid is good if you think the kid stinks.
I mean, the jury's not out. So it's fair for all of us.
The jury is out.
Okay, jury out, jury not. It's fair to hypothesize. It is fair if you think he's going to stink or suck.
Did you slug 7 Bud Lights before the show?
No, I think it's this Jen. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy breakfast scrub. So now I got this crystal on, this Aaron Rodgers crystal.
So Ron and the Key bought me a crystal for me to wear every day until Aaron Rodgers throws his first touchdown. Ben clearly got a little jealous that I was the guy with the crystal on, asked if he could wear it with his white tee because it would pop more, took off his quarter zip.
It does pop
put
more.
Put on the crystal with the white tee. And now is blaming that crystal for him not being his inability to speak.
My ineptitude in the last 5 minutes has really questioned my abilities right now. Was that even a sentence?
You got a great question text and a great point text from Jason Wilde. And he said he doesn't think he'd ever sent those before. So you must be doing something well.
When he's listening, goodness gracious. That's amazing. I had to frame that.
What do you think he thinks of the past 5 minutes?
one of them just came, I swear. 3 or 4
That's what she said.
We're going to hear from him. We can ask.
All right, we'll talk to Jason Wilde next. It's Scalzo and Bros, presented by the world's greatest beer, Bud Light.
I need a regroup.
You're listening to Bud Light, Scalzo and Bros.
Ben, you are talking smack to the women in the office about beating them left-handed and how you could torch them in pickleball.
I'm a douche! I know I'm a douche!
Subscribe to the Scalzo and Brust podcast free on the Wisconsin On Demand app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I just need one word to get to you. So tell me now, do you want it? Cause these dancing feet don't cry to the rhythm they cry for you. And every Saturday night that you wait, keep my tears blow.
Scalzo and Brust, presented by the world's greatest beer, Bud Light. He is Benny Brust. I'm Greg Scalzo. Josh DiMaggio running the show. You, the Scalzo and Brust family, calling, texting 800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776. Jason, we have to know, what was the great question that Ben had and the great point that he made?
I don't know. He was on a really good run, and then he started looking up odds for the NBA playoffs.
That's when it went south.
As accurately as Josh described it, was that even a sentence? No, it was like a series of words without a subject or a predicate. It was very weird. But you just got to stay focused, buddy. You were killing it. You were so good with so many good points and questions about this whole saga. We're totally doing this tomorrow. We're taking all your stuff on our show. We have to. This has been a fantastic discussion, and it's been great to get insight into Josh's, dare I say, hatred.
You can say
of
it.
Aaron Rodgers.
You could say
it's
that.
It's very clear.
And how that influences how you look at all this other stuff. I mean, I'm not the king of the analogy Tausches, but I do think that expectations are so vital to how you answer this question. And for Jets fans, and look, none of us are Jets fans, so it's hard for us to project how they're going to feel, but the leaving the gated community with your hamburger and the starving guy was a really good analogy in that I don't really like, you know, people starving, but that's exactly what the Jets are. Cause you're right. Longest playoff drought in the NFL, longer than the Browns, longer than the Lions, longer than the Texans, like longer than everybody, 12 years. And for all of Packers fans' frustration with how long it's been since they won a Super Bowl, that's how long it's been since the Jets were even in the playoffs. Their Super Bowl drought goes back to 1969. So, you know, look, there's so much I want to get to from listening to you guys, and I don't even know where to begin, but I'm going to choose to begin here, which is, I am not a believer in this idea that Aaron Rodgers sucks. I'm not. He not only did he break his thumb, not only did he have a bunch of guys he was unfamiliar with, some of it by his own doing, remember, he could have done a much, much, much better job of being more familiar with them. Not only did they have a significant shift in terms of their coaching staff, because whatever Nathaniel Hackett became as a head coach doesn't change how vital he was to Matt LaFleur's success offensively as his offensive coordinator. Not only did he break his thumb, but he also lost Davante Adams, who I would argue that Aaron Rodgers' greatness is not to the same degree as it had been previously, where he could make Jeff Janis and our old buddy Jared Aberderis look great. I think he needs better players around him than he had last year. And so you put all that together, and then you look at what the Jets potentially are going to do for him. I think he's going to be really good next year. If he doesn't get hurt, I think he's going to be really good. Do I think he's going to win the MVP? I'm not willing to say that. But I don't think he went from back-to-back MVPs to what he was last year, and that's who he is now. I don't believe that. And so I think however you're voting in this poll, which I think it was, what, 69-31, percentage-wise when I voted. I think Packers fans, I think Ben was right. I think one of the points he made, I think it's going to come down to just how successful Rodgers is in New York more so than anything else. Because I know you had one text about, you know, I think the kid can play. I mean, even me, who I have to admit I'm a skeptic of how good Jordan Love is going to be, we all have to acknowledge that none of us have enough knowledge or evidence to prove our positions. I'm skeptical. I have certainly not written him off, but I am a skeptic on him based on what I've seen, which is a lot more than what other fans have seen. Because I've seen practices, at least. I've seen training camp. And I just, this idea that he's going to be great and Rodgers is going to be terrible, maybe the folks that are viewing it that way are going to be right. I don't think that's going to be the case.
Jason, I want you to take us back to 08 a little bit and try and predict what you think fans will be like for Rodgers. First, what was it like when Favre was successful and having good games for the Jets, and what do you think it will be like for Packers fans as they see Rodgers?
Well, you know, to your point that you were making earlier about how many people just hate Rodgers, which, why do they hate him so much?
Joshy.
Like, you can think he's weird, Josh, right? You can think that he's self-centered. You can think that he's pushing. Like, I personally, you know, as you guys well know, while Paul was going through breast cancer and he was saying some of the things that he was saying about vaccines and everything else, I was concerned about that. You can dislike a lot of what he's done. You can dislike how bad they've been in the playoffs in terms of winning and getting the Super Bowl. But, like, how many of their playoff exits do you pin on him? I would say the loss to the 49ers, he wasn't good enough. And I don't care what the special teams did. If you have a Hall of Fame quarterback, they should have won that game. I would say the loss to Tom Brady and the Bucks, he didn't play well enough. And he deflected with the decision to kick the field goal and jeopardy and everything else. But I'm not sure all of their playoff failings have been his fault. So why do people hate him, Josh?
I mean, there's plenty of reasons. A lot of it starts with the fact that you get told how great he is despite his failures in the playoffs consistently. He can get you to the playoffs. You can't get it done. There's a consistent part there that factors in. And the fact that Aaron Rodgers has never gotten in front of a mic to try and never hesitated to get in front of a mic to tell you he's smarter than you, he's better than you, he thinks better than you, he feels better than you, and does everything better than everyone else. I think he displays the attitude of somebody who's a classic narcissist. And if you listen to him enough, that can drive any person to not like you. Somebody like me who liked him a whole lot prior to probably the past 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, he's smug. There's no doubt about that. And I would also say that he would help himself with people like you if once in a while he said, yeah, we lost because I didn't play well enough.
Yes.
It would be really nice to hear. I would say that to him. In fact, I have. I don't think he takes the blame often enough. I don't think he acknowledges that he's imperfect often enough. Paula doesn't necessarily recognize how imperfect she is all the time either. So I don't mind folks like that. But I can tell you how imperfect I am. I would just say this. I think there's a real danger if you can't separate the art from the artist, because I do think that you can criticize his playoff performance. Now, do I think they lost the 2014 NFC Championship game when he's playing on a torn calf in Seattle because of him? No, I don't. Do I think they lost it in 16 when he carried the team to Atlanta and they had LaTroy Guy on at the end of the game playing guard and Ladarius Gunter trying to cover the best wide receiver in football and Julio Jones? No, I don't. But 20 and 21 playoff exits, he deserves way more blame than he took. So I understand all that, but I don't believe he's going to stink in New York. I would be a little nervous that he's turning 40 and he could get hurt, but I don't think he's going to stink. I think Jordan Love is going to be, to go back to Ben's question, I think he's going to be up and down. I think he's going to have some really good games, and he's going to have some really bad games, and he's going to have a bunch of mediocre games, because that's a lot of what Aaron Rodgers did. And Aaron Rodgers, and this is something that I think we have not, I know I have not on our show, addressed enough. Aaron Rodgers had Donald Driver, who was still in the prime of his career and is the all-time leading receiver in Packers history. He had Greg Jennings, who was in year three and was on the precipice of being a really, really, really good wide receiver. He had James Jones going into year two, who had caught 47 balls the year before. And they drafted Jordy Nelson in the second round that year. He had some pretty good talent around him. Look at what Jordan Love's going to be playing with. I'm not saying that Samori Toure and Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs aren't good players, but they're young players. They're all second-year guys, and they're going to have the same growing pains that all second-year guys, including Davante Adams, by the way, have. And that's who Jordan Love's going to be working with. Plus, a bunch of nobodies at tight end. Like, I don't think they're starting tight ends on their team right now. They're going to have to draft a guy 15th, and then that guy's going to have to be good right away. And I don't know if he will be or won't be. So I think there's the peril of Jordan Love not only having his own growing pains, but I think he's going to be playing with a bunch of guys who are going to have growing pains of their own, and that's going to make for a difficult season. They're going to have a good offensive line. They have a good running game. I'll be curious to see what their offense looks like when Aaron Rodgers isn't running it, Matt LaFleur's not having plays changed on him. But I think it's much more likely that Jets fans with lower expectations, if they make it to the AFC Championship game somehow, or they lose late in a divisional round playoff game, you're telling me that those hungry for the hamburger from the gated community guy headed to the five-star restaurant aren't going to be thrilled that Aaron Rodgers came in and did that, and they won't? They can't wait to convince him to come back for another year in 2024. I'm sorry. I think it's much more likely that Jets fans are going to be happy.
I'm with you, Jason. Thank you, as always, for the time. Look forward to catching up with you next week.
I'm sorry I talked so much. I didn't give you guys much opportunity.
That was great.
I was so jazzed up with everything I listened to.
It was great. Talking, you've had to listen to us a lot, as I believe you're resuming your drives back down to the Milwaukee area on your Mondays.
Old T will be happy you got some stuff for him.
Yeah, well, he usually has to carry the load, so thank you for carrying the load for us. Thank you for your service.
Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it. Read him at The Athletic, the Wisconsin State Journal. Of course, listen to him every day on Wilde and Tausch, 9 to noon across these very stations. Find their podcasts along with ours wherever you get your podcasts. We will hopefully, can we get the On the Tee guys in here, get a little Masters talk going? We'll continue our conversation around Aaron Rodgers and which fan base will be happiest come February. It's Scalzo and Brust presented by Bud Light.
You're listening to Bud Light Scalzo and Brust.
This can't be common. I heard a crazy story from a buddy I met. And he talked about he got a vasectomy and then his wife got pregnant. That's got to be awkward, huh?
I guess.
Right? Like, you get a vasectomy, you think it can't happen.
Yeah, that's been known to happen.
Jeez. How do you get that thing to 100? I guess chop them off.
Subscribe to the Scalzo and Brust podcast free on the Wisconsin On Demand app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, friends.
No, don't do that. Don't do the imitation of the guy you stood up at Augusta National.
Right, oh, hey. Gabe's a little mad that I stood up gym to go to Butler's Cabin because that's his dream and I lived it.
No, you didn't live it.
But you did. I went to Butler's Cabin the year before.
Yeah.
I got a picture. I've been in Butler's Cabin. Jim Nance.
It's remarkable
how little awareness he has
of how unlikable he is.
Yeah, well, and also it's Butler Cabin. It's not. It doesn't belong to Leroy Butler. It's not his cabin. It's just Butler Cabin.
Jeez.
I thought you can't take a picture there.
Gabe Neitzel, Steve Watson from. So that's the thing. That's the cool thing, Steven, is I didn't have my phone. Jim Nance insisted on taking the picture and texting it to me. What a guy.
Was that before or after he gave you his tie?
I did not get his tie. We didn't make it to the national championship and win.
All right, so we're joined by the folks here from On the Tee, Gabe Neitzel, Steven Watson. You hear them 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 6 p.m. on Monday, but you follow them in all their golf shenanigans all year round. And this, of course, Scalzo and Brust, presented by Bud Light. This music's disarming right now as I bring the show in. Here's the thing. The fact that everybody is fascinated by is it's the same phone that Jim Nance took the picture of Ben Brust on. Mm-hmm. It was the same phone that a year later he was looking at, waiting for any sign of Ben Brust to show up at 9 a.m. to Butler Cabin while he was waiting with a group of people. And he would never receive that text or that call because he was blindly stood up by Ben Brust.
Like, Jim Nance reportedly, like, everybody, I don't know if I've ever heard anyone go, oh, you know that Jim Nance, he's a real D-bag. No, nothing but positive things about Jim Nance.
So I have nothing but positive things to say about Jim
Nance. And he probably, because he's so nice, has nothing but nice things to say about you.
Why did you do it?
Which is crazy.
I'd been there, done that sort of thing. Been there, done that.
Why did you do it?
I woke up and I went to the Double Eagle Club where we have some fine people that serve us alcohol, and I just started having some screwdrivers, and I was just like, I was there last year and I didn't go.
I showed up at like 8:45 a.m. and he was sitting there with an omelet and a screwdriver in front of him
with a big smile,
and I'm like, what are you doing here?
So the thing is,
he also, by the way, as somebody brought up last time, never even invited me or pushed for his guest to join him. Like, wasn't even ever a thought. Like, now I never asked for it because at some point, like, you're not gonna.
Yeah.
But wasn't even like, hey, I asked.
I mean, he's your guy. You would think he would have your back like that. Yeah. Apparently not.
Greg, you would have invited Ben had the roles been
Josh, 100%,
1,000%. Yes.
I actually have some hardcore Masters talk if we can switch into that.
What hardcore Masters talk? I already gave my take to these guys upstairs. They didn't agree with it. If you're Tiger, finish the Masters. You're going to start at finish. Like, just get out of the withdrawing stuff.
His body wouldn't have been able to withstand 27 holes of golf yesterday. Okay, just couldn't.
Then don't enter the tournament.
That's a legit take. Yeah. That I'm willing to entertain at this
like
point.
He's taking up somebody else's spot.
No, well, not at Augusta, but.
Well, you understand. On TV?
He's still the needle, man.
He's the needle for what?
Golf?
For the casual golf fans.
I know, but Master Sunday, he wasn't even there to begin with. Like, and Saturday didn't happen, so there was no needle to be had. I mean, Freddie Couples and his bad back is...
Yeah, it was impressive.
You know, getting it done.
Yeah, Tiger had a screw popping out of his foot. Well, that last year.
I was going to say, that wasn't this tournament.
No, but we still found out about it. He's dealing with plantar fasciitis.
Convenient that we found out about that story today, because they know.
But yeah. Tiger's not going to leak
it either.
Next
year, we'll find out why he withdrew the Masters this year.
Plantar fasciitis.
I have plantar fasciitis.
Yeah?
Hurts like hell.
Is that why you didn't You couldn't walk over to Butler Cabin
because your planner flashed.
That I was healthy, spry, and young.
Okay.
Pace of play, right? Everyone wants to talk pace of play. Patrick Cantley.
Does he ever take notes for your show? He's got like a list of like things he wants to talk about.
What is the chicken scratch?
All right,
so it says pace of play.
For anybody who wants a sneak peek today, Ben and Josh got together for an early show prepping session. The only thing that was come up with was the urinal conversation of what urinal do you use in the bathroom.
With dividers. It's a big caveat.
That was the extent of the notes that we had for that.
Okay, and he's got actual notes for questions for us.
Pitch clock in baseball.
Yep.
Pitch clock for golfers. What are we thinking?
Again, not a bad idea. A little tougher because the ballpark for golf is so large. I don't know where you put the clock.
It's a bad idea.
It's not about
a clock. You can let them down.
It's not about an actual clock. I'm saying each individual has a certain amount of time when they're over the ball.
It's an etiquette-driven game. You have to ultimately, in my mind, curb the behavior by, shaming them.
Every pitcher is pitching from the exact same mound, same distance. Every golfer is playing from a different distance. So you would have to obviously have to think about distance of a putt, distance of a shot, difficulty of a shot. All that factors into
that's
pace
fine.
Of play.
But when I show up as a casual golfer, there's a pace of play that they want you to keep, right?
Correct.
There should be an over, like for each person, there should be an overall.
A ranger. No, I like a ranger. I feel like if you're too slow, they should like performatively have a ranger go out there and talk to Patrick Cantlay out there and like just so everyone can see the shame.
Does the hat say ranger on it?
1,000%
With the golf cart that has ranger.
It's got the flag on the
flag
back.
Flag on the back.
I love it. I mean, you need to shame the slow players.
Yes.
Victor Hovland tried his best.
Yeah. But what's next on the list?
That was my big take.
List is done.
I mean,
you're trying to rush to that topic because we only have like another minute left to get to more things on the list.
No, that was the list. I thought that was going to be a big hit. I thought it was going to be a 10-minute segment. Pitch clock, golf clock. Speed up the pace of play.
General take on the Masters this weekend, boys, and what do we have to look forward to next and on the tee?
I had a lot of fun. I know yesterday was probably a long day for a lot of golf fans. If they watched it, maybe got a little boring toward the end, but I had a lot of fun watching it.
I think it was a great weekend for golf because there's now a villain back on the PGA Tour.
And does golf need villains?
Every sport needs a villain.
I love Phil. He's my new favorite golfer.
You mean like the Skeletor version of Phil?
Dude, like Darth Vader Phil?
The fact that he's going full WWE heel, all black with the aviators on Sunday, shooting at 60, what was he, 65 or 66?
65.
Like, yeah, that's vintage heel right there. I love it. Coming up next, as we mentioned, in Milwaukee, these two gentlemen with On the Tee in Madison, you get The Huddle with Alex Stroph and Brad Nortman in Beaver Dam. It's Joe and Amber.
Golf pitch clock coming up next.